Yo, what's up?
Baby, let's go.
Wherever you are, you should know you're listening to The Cruise Block Show with Jen D on 100.7 Unio FM. Now you know, touch that dial because the pressure de wissa. And in my mind, you think you're speaking curl, bro, but it's just teaching, you know. Don't go anywhere.
Glitches. Ejector systems are offline.
Father got a kid and knew the boy would be the G-O-A-T, so he named him Exalted. Heaven smiled, hell revolted. Earth knew his name would notably be on everyone's breath. Some kinda O-A-P priest. Man dripping confesses personality, unflinchingly unafraid in the face of reality, but this is reality. Father got a kid and the script was rewritten. Fear deep in glands because the kid wasn't breathing. I mean, his twin just died and he could be next. And at 33, his mama could be dead. But boy clawed his way out of mama's womb. Survival instincts pushing him out of his brother's tomb. Mom thinks it was a win-win. Well, he's 21 and thinking of what could have been if they had lived together as twins. A year after his birth, it was the Twin Towers coming down. None survived. Made father grateful one was alive. 2 years later, got a brother that promised to stay. 5 years along and he was gone on his way. The boy still bears his name till today. Chris, a living badge of an unlived life. Priest picked up the pen and his cognomen at 10, and then picked books from his mama's shelf. Dripped ink with a fluid skill that surprised me myself. Fashioned a god from his imagery. He literally put his thoughts to the pen, truth and lies. Spilled thoughts from his mind, slits into plain shits. Fresh ink dies, a worthy sacrifice. Purple blooded Simba with scars on his pride. When his father died, the pen was his bride. The paper stained with black inks, cracks, chinks in his armor till he can't think. No answers to the whys he was asking, and all he was asking was to be redeemed like some promo code. He sought repose when his peace of mind was deposed. Priest is old. A letter from life admitting to wrecking his life since he was 7 years old. Since he packed his bags with a bright face and pockets full of hope. Heading out of Lagos for the city of Jos, hoping to hit his plateau, but that too played a part too in breaking his heart to a million pieces. And this piece is what this piece is, as they would tell you of every time. Life threw a spanner in the works, anytime anything seemed to work. Good things ending suddenly, like his life almost did that surgery. Mother thinks it's fine now. The boy says it's fine too. But with the pain in his head, the boy is crossing the line now. On some days, everything is blur, and in his mind's eye, he sees his father, clear as he's never been before. Drunk, staggering, reeking of the stench of failure and alcohol. And then the speeding car comes, and it's blood and gore. On other days, it's him, in his mind's eye, wearing his father's shoes, staggering, repeating his father's mistakes, his father's lies. But this time no speeding car comes. This time it's him screaming at the top of his lungs, banishing his demons till they are gone like AKs. He's exorcist. He exorcised it so fast till they see him as terrorist. The cleverest lyricist, this is priest. Hopping on every roller coaster and jumping off when he gets too serious. The seed was religious. I'm almost delirious. I should be in a panic on because it's really got like from where I'm standing on. I hopped on the mic and Jimmy jumped off, left it melting like I'm really hot stuff. I bring peace enough to leave the Amazons displeased. And if you ever wonder, woman, my name is Priest. Peach Bonner.
Yeah, you're still listening to the Cruise Block Friday show right here on 100.7 Unio FM. And just so you know, it's a Cruise Block right here. And Jing the Vibe God is hanging out with the Superman Priest. I just played you a poem, and that poem is titled Priest by X Priest.
Yeah, I have nostalgia. Very, very crazy nostalgia listening to that.
Yeah.
It's like I'm back in the studio, 2021 July. You know, making that poem all over again. Yeah.
You know, I've listened to a lot of spoken word poems, and it's funny how I don't memorize the lines. But this is one poem I have all the lines. Like, I know, I don't know everything from the beginning to the end, but I know some lines. When you said, like, some, his name would be on everyone's lips, that's like some kind of OAP. Like, this man, this is it.
Yeah. No, that's flash.
Yeah.
I have people, you know the lyrics of the poem
by
heart, and it's really flattering. But at the time of writing, I honestly did not expect that
school line to come
exactly. in. Exactly. I did not expect it. I think it stemmed from a conversation with someone, and I thought OAP on
air personality.
So on everyone's lips.
Yeah, the line just came in.
Yeah, it just came in. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
In case you're just tuning in, this is the first of Friday show right here on 100.7 Unio FM, and it's the Cruise Block right here. Jing the Vibe Guy hanging out with Priest. And just so you know, this man in the studio is a 3-time Slam winner. And I wanted to say 3-time Grammy Award winner, but I just have to say this 3-time Slam winner. You know, the Grammy has a particular category for spoken word poetry. Yeah. Before, it was a mix of audiobooks and poetry, and we saw the Obamas packing everything home.
Because of the audiobooks.
Yeah, audiobooks. And now we have a category.
That's the goal. You know, that's the big picture. Not really the big picture. It's like, you know, a step into the big picture.
Yeah.
So I imagine that.
You're going to get it one day.
Yeah. I'm creating works as a matter of fact before the end of this year, releasing my EP. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'll be going for an album.
Yeah.
So creating this as a test run, test the waters. Then afterwards, another EP that I would definitely submit for the Grammys. And I don't mind if you say, oh, Jesus, you're just an acquired bomb. You're one small Nigerian boy. Like,
you know, the first artist showcase I had on the Cruise Block was with a singer. He's a music artist.
Okay.
He performs music. When I had him in the studio, we had a great time. So now trying to reach out to you and get your poems, something happened. I told myself, man, this is a big artist, you know. You can just ball game all the time. Just do something. I went on Spotify to check out this poem. When I went on Spotify, I saw that you were verified on Spotify.
Well, I guess it... Promotions,
yeah.
So when you have to get something, you have to sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
So early this year, lots of cash went into that.
Yeah.
So as a matter of fact, I did not notice until very recently.
Someone told you, just go check it out.
Go and check your Spotify. And I'm like, oh, wait, what?
So you have a new work this year, and it was a featured work with a particular artist,
yes.
Ian Calabar, that is Warden. And you have a new poem, and that was Sharp Things.
Sharp Things. I haven't played Sharp Things since the first day we released it.
Yeah.
After that day. Chaplin is too personal. It hits too close to home.
Yeah.
Be played all the time. The way I played Priest. Priest is very personal, but Priest is a poem of acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, acceptance and healing to some extent.
Yeah.
You listen to the ending. He exercises the toughest. See him as terrorist. Yeah. That ending.
No, there was an event. There was an event here in the city of Rio, and I was a sound master there. I played almost all the songs, everything they needed of the SFX. And now what happened, I was there particular Saturday, then I was trying to cue my songs and make sure I play them. I played some songs. It's a church though, played some Christian songs. Got to the point I told myself, man, try out something new. I played the poem Priest.
Wow.
Everywhere was kind of, you know, people making noise, talking. Everyone kept quiet. It actually studies with my voice. I've heard it perform a couple of times. I'm like, maybe that is his voice. I told him, no, that's not my voice, you know? No, that's not me.
That's funny. That's funny. Now, I haven't heard that story before.
Yeah.
It's very pleasing to know my work is going ahead of me. I hope to do that, you know. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I know I haven't said.
You need for the culture. We need for the culture.
Culture, yeah. So, definitely, that's something I hope happens more often, when my work will be played without me even knowing, and it impacts people.
You know, a lot of people hear your name, priest, ex-priest.
Yeah.
Now, there's an ex before the priest.
Yeah.
And now, if you're talking about priest, religious kind of Satan, you're talking about a person who... Yeah. You understand? And a lot of people feel, okay, this man performs spoken word poetry, probably sometimes you perform in the church, they expect you to be this kind of religious, highly placed person who preaches, right? So now a lot of people would expect that from you.
Yeah, as a poet. I get the sentiment a lot, but it's not necessarily that. The idea behind it was one of healing. I said writing as a result of depression most of the time. I was depressed during my teenage years. So I was writing as a result of that. So priest is someone you go to tell all your sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was my priest.
Yeah.
My own priest at that point. So I tell myself all my sins. I became priest. So when I write poetry, honestly, this is not me being a narcissist, but I don't exactly write for anyone. I write to express my feelings. It's how I deal with my emotions.
Yeah. I've seen you perform. Seen you 2 times in Islam.
Yes.
And now here's the thing about your performances. You know, people say you perform in poetry, you perform in as a slam, you perform in for the poets. The judges made of the poets that have performed poetry, that have done poetry, but page or stage poetry. So if you perform in poetry, for your kind of poetry, do you try to appeal first? Okay, let's do it on a scale of 10. On a scale of 10, how do you try to appeal and balance it for the audience and for the judges? How do you do it?
Well, first for the audience before the judges.
Yeah.
I feel like if it gets to the audience, then it will definitely get to the judges. Now, this does not mean I have to give out watered down stuff.
Huh?
Yeah. Because lots of people try to strike that balance where you have to perform for an audience and you are trying to get them to understand what you are doing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, the judges are poets.
Yeah.
They expect something very, you know,
very
good. So something good enough for the good poets and good enough for the audience too. Yeah. So I try to strike the balance, but audience first. So I know my writing, I always try to make it top notch. So as long as I can write something good enough for the audience to get, then I don't have to worry about.
Now here's the thing. What inspired you to pursue spoken word poetry as an art form?
Yeah.
What inspired you to say, okay, this is me, maybe if on page poetry, I want to start doing the spoken part of it. What inspired you?
Okay, I figured that written poetry most of the time does not get poetry. When you submit, you get loads of rejections.
Yeah.
Now, that is in no way a problem because rejections are still part of your success story.
Yeah.
But the idea is you write a poem that you want to communicate ASAP to people.
Yeah.
You can't go through the usual channels.
Yeah.
The writing, I'd have to write it and then submit it, then wait for feedback. So I thought, okay, spoken poetry, this is the best way to express. It's all about the expression.
Yeah.
The faster and, you know, it's just now that we are monetizing and trying to monetize it. But on a regular scale, it's about the expression.
Yeah.
So how do I express this easily?
Yeah. No, you've stayed in Jazz, you've stayed in Plateau, you've stayed in Calabar, and you've been in Uyo.
Yeah.
And now you see how the poetry community, not just the poetry community, the creative community is right here. Now, how would you rate all of the states you've been to? Mm. How would you rate how passionate they are with what they are doing, their craft, their art? How would you rate it? Calabar is doing their thing. I've been to a couple of events, FPC, they're doing amazingly well for themselves. And also Jazz, they're doing just so well too. Now, Uyo, how do you rate this community? How do you see?
I would place them, one after the other. Joss would have to come first.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of hungry creatives in Joss. Extremely hungry to the point that they sacrifice. They just go all out.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking poetry. I'm talking rappers.
Yeah.
Most very good rappers.
Talking about Emma Yabaga. You're doing your thing.
That squad.
AQ,
Joss. Yeah. So, Joss takes it. Then, Calabar. This is where I've been.
Yeah.
Calabar. I've been in Uyo. I've seen the poetry community. They probably just... They do it in their own way.
Yeah.
In personally, individually, but when we talk about community, it's Calabar.
Calabar, yeah.
Calabar.
And it's in.
Then Uyo. No shade. I mean, Uyo. I love the poetry community.
Right here, yeah.
Poeticness and all. I love the poetry community. But when we talk about, okay, we are very serious right now.
Yeah.
Perhaps if we talk 2019. If we say 2019, 2018, we would say Uyo, definitely Uyo, because
yeah,
that was when almost all the poets in Uyo were invited, were really serious about it. But right now, Calabar, definitely.
So now how do you go about creating and refining your spoken word pieces? Because I've listened to your poems and I'm like, this person, how do you go about creating and refining it?
Okay, sometimes create from a word, a phrase.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wrote a poem recently, Bulletproof, and I wrote it from the word.
Yeah.
So I had Bulletproof and I brought a very different idea of a Bulletproof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I study philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, you learn to think outside the box.
Yeah.
So I could see a microphone and think of a different use for the microphone.
Yeah.
And what is known for it.
And are you still talking about your creative? Because this is like you're talking about your creative process. You create from a word.
Yeah, from a
now,
word.
Now, walk us through your creative process. I want to know this.
Okay, so say I get a word. Let's say, for example, priest.
Yeah.
I wrote priest as a result of I should be in a pantheon because it's really godlike from where I'm standing on.
Yeah.
That was the birth of the whole priest piece. Pantheon. I had pantheon. Someone said, it was a voice note. Someone said, sound like a pantheon. And I'm like, oh, I should be in a pantheon because it's really godlike from where I'm standing on. And I put that line, but I never used it. So when I went back home and before I slept, I started something. Somehow, once the first word of inspiration, the words that always come is charged with inspiration. I can't explain it. It's charged with inspiration. Like Bulletproof. When Bulletproof, I just saw Bulletproof and was charged with inspiration. Once I started writing, the words come out. Now, there's the first writing process where I just write and then I leave it.
Yeah.
And I come back to it like 2-3 days and then, no, this is whack. And I have to
edit it,
take out stuff, add stuff.
And here's the thing, a lot of people, I'll tell people sometimes that I like it when creators hope for things.
Okay.
I'm an OEP. I hope to go bigger places, but I don't just hope for it. I just walk to make sure that, like, because hope is like a poison. Just take it and it goes down your throat and then you know you're dead. Mm-hmm. Now, but what do you hope to achieve with your poetry? Yes.
Honestly, my dreams scare me. My hopes could be dreams too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They scare me because it's actually extremely big. It blows out the roof. I'm talking international stages.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, I was really, really hell-bent on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Performing there. There's a poet.
Brandon Bleak.
Brandon Leak. Yeah.
Brandon
Leak has won America's Got Talent as a poet. Yeah. So I was really intent on it. But, well, I thought, okay, perhaps it might be too small a stage.
Yeah.
What I'm planning. So the hope is to have my voice everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
In every country, in every city.
Now you're talking about the American Got Talent.
Yeah.
You're talking about Brandon Leak.
Yeah.
Now Brandon went there as a poet. Nobody ever thought this man stood a chance to win.
Exactly.
And now we saw the series of performances. The first Golden Bars that we got on the show was Stop the Nails.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to try and appeal to the judges. It was the audience.
It was the audience he was trying to
thin. And this man got the Golden Bars that he went on to win and just was amazing. And you're talking about the American Got Talent. Now it's open, people from other countries go perform. And I think it's something you also give a try if you want to give it a try.
Yeah. It's still at the back of my mind. It's still something I'm toying with.
Yeah.
So I definitely do want to do that. I also realized from his performances that as much as the judges are professional people.
Yeah.
They're also audiences.
Yeah.
So they you can reduce. Permit me to make this reference.
Yeah.
There are times I read books. I am a writer, so sometimes I read as a critic.
Yeah.
So when I read, I try to, okay, I am reading on an edge.
Yeah.
Trying to get lost in the book, but at the same time trying to criticize.
Yeah.
There are books that get me lost from the first 2-3 lines.
Yeah.
And I become a reader, no longer a critic.
Critic, yeah.
So if you as a performer can turn your judge from a judge to a listener to an audience. You've gotten, so if you've done your judge to the audience, you've gotten everything.
Now a lot of people are creatives, and you know, creatives are very sensitive people.
Yeah.
And sometimes they tend to seek for acceptance, both from family, friends. And I tell people, if you're a creative, whatever you're doing, the people close to you might not buy it, might not buy the idea of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I do podcasting.
Yeah.
Now, when I drop links, I probably don't send it to people around me. Do you understand? Now, I put out my stuff on social media, probably gets to the person you're supposed to get to. Because the people around you are like, I know this person is good.
Yeah.
Now, the bank on the idea that you're very good at what you did and whatever you do. Someone told me before, Daniel, whatever you do to me, there's no mistaking it. I'm like, are you joking?
Well, I guess it's the same thing with what we do. Yeah, when you write poetry, the people that really underestimated me when I started performing were the people that knew me already, that knew me, that never seen me perform. So it's pleasant having to perform right now and having them say, bro, you're actually really good.
Go ahead, what you do.
Yeah. Now, that's the part of the acceptance. But I would say a year ago or two, I was in a place that wished for this acceptance, prayed, begged for it.
Yeah.
Right now, not so much.
Yeah.
Because I'll just write and, well.
So now, how's your personal background and your personal background influenced your works? How has it influenced your work? Because you talked about the poem Priest.
Yeah.
So it's like you're trying to heal from something. You talked about your mom, talked about your dad, talked about the twin.
Yeah.
And now, how has it influenced your work?
Okay. I believe every child, virtually almost every child, grows up with trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, that at some point in your life, at some stage in your life, you have to face it. And that's the thing, you never realize you've gone through. You have some issues you have to deal with until when it rears its head up. You might not recognize it as trauma. So my personal background plays a huge part in almost all my pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, my relationship with my mom, my relationship with my brother, the way my sister laughs, the way my mom cooks, it's everywhere. It infiltrates my work. If you read my poetry, it's very hard for you to not see something like, my mother's body is a jug I can drink from.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so impossible not to see something about my personal background. I lost my father at 11, age 11, and as much as I'd like to tell people that I wasn't affected by it, he was absent for a while before he died, so it didn't affect me.
Yeah.
That's a lie. I actually did get affected by that. And it showed when I had to write about it.
Yeah.
So my personal background is like my major writing influence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And here's the thing. How do you think spoken word poetry differs from other forms of poetry? How do you think? Because we have page
poetry,
we have people doing different things with poetry. How do you think your spoken word, because a lot of people say some people don't read poetry poems anymore, I even want to read, they don't understand what they're reading.
Yeah.
So when you're performing spoken word poetry, this is you breathing life into it. It's just like giving wings to something that can't even fly, it just flies. It's you breathing life into it and making it, giving it limbs to walk.
Yeah.
So how do you think it differs from other forms of poetry?
Well, spoken word poetry is as much as it is visual, it's also spiritual.
Yeah,
really spiritual. Yeah, I watched Kish. You should know Kish Rowland.
I know him.
I watched Kish perform a poem on NSAS and put his soul into that poem. That when he finished, people were crying.
Yeah.
Now this, it wasn't a religious experience. It wasn't. He wasn't talking about God. Yeah, that would say, okay, this is the spirit coming in us. This was something entirely different. We were talking NSAS.
Yeah.
And when he stopped, people started crying.
Crying, yeah.
So, spoken word poetry, performance poetry is like the strongest form of poetry there is, because you become your words. You relive a moment. Each time I write down emotions. I write a whole plethora of thoughts.
Yeah.
And when I perform it, I have to relieve those thoughts that made me write. So I relieve them on stage. I become my words. That's shape-shifting. It's magic. So spoken word poetry is magic. And it's like...
No, everyone, yesterday, joined the journal prompts for the month of May, and I was supposed to write yesterday on the moments that changed my life.
Okay.
Now, I told people that the career path I chose for myself to become a communicator, to become an OAP, to be a radio person,
yeah,
didn't just come up from somewhere. You understand?
Word.
Something just brought me to this place. Now, I stayed in Lagos with my aunt, and now she had a restaurant in Lagos Television. That's, we have Lagos Television, so she had a restaurant there. So, you know, people order food from offices.
Okay.
Now, Echo FM shares that edifice with LTV.
Wow.
So now, one particular morning, I went to the restaurant in the morning. I was like, okay. I was like, Coco, someone ordered for food at Echo FM. Take this food to the person. I didn't know what was going to happen. I took the food, went to the Echo FM. When I got there, they were like, okay. You know, it's food. You can't just give food to any other. You have to give it to the person that ordered for it. So whatever happens, we'll know that it came directly from who ordered for it.
Yeah.
So now, when I went, like, it's in the live room. Go inside the live room and give him the food. I didn't understand what a live room was. I walked in there. I was a big fan of radio. I've been listening to radio. I had my own OAPs from BT FM, Sound City Radio, Cool FM. I had all of my OAPs. But I never imagined what a live room looked like. Was when I walked into Echo FM's live room. When I walked into that particular live room, I told myself, man, I would never leave radio. I'm gonna die with you. You understand? I told myself, I'm going to die with you. Whatever happens. So now I got closer to this man, and he taught me everything. Before I even got into school, I started a podcast. That was 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, these things helped belt me. And I want to know, what have been the experiences in your journey as a spoken word poet, when somewhere you performed? I want to know, can you share a particular memorable performance or moment from your career as a spoken word artist that really shaped you? See, this thing, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to go with it to the end of the world. What moment really shaped everything about you?
Okay, well, I've had moments like that, but I think it would have to be performing in a church.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two moments, as a matter of fact. When I performed a particular piece, and it felt like I was the piece.
Yeah?
I cannot explain that feeling.
You were vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. It was like bearing myself out.
Yeah?
And I could see that a lot of people they were there with me, and they felt what I felt at that moment, at that instant. And it was something I think would always stay with me. Yeah. And it was also something that said, okay, what you are doing is not just, this isn't ordinary.
Yeah.
This is you've touched something. You can't let it go. So, so that moment, and then the other moment, the first time I ever performed, and the lady that invited me was broke down. I was in tears while I was performing. Personally, I didn't know why she was crying.
Yeah.
I didn't know why she was crying because it was just a poem for me.
Yeah.
But that pushed me. It made me understand that, okay, this is not just performing. This is not just about being able to stand on a stage and speak.
Yeah.
It's about being able to touch people. And if I can touch people.
Yeah, you can.
You have to keep doing anything. Yeah.
You know, at some point when I was doing spoken poetry, I did poetry to a point where every piece I perform was like, Daniel, you know, when you're done, you're like, man, you're so vulnerable. You know, these people.
Yeah.
Telling your story to everyone.
Exactly.
I have a poem called Choosing Grace. Yeah. That piece is all about my dad, family, how I lost my dad here, 2016. So now, this particular, you know, when you lose someone, now you were not there to tell the person the last goodbye.
Yeah.
It happens, and now you have to, okay, this drama, if at all I was there. Now, the question I ask myself all the time is, Daniel, what if you were there when your dad was about to just take the last breath? Maybe he would have just looked at you and be like, okay, have a son to live for, leave for him. So now, I live without trauma. What would have happened if I was there? So now, there's a piece, Choosing Grace, probably you've heard me perform that poem before.
Yeah.
That piece is like me being vulnerable, man. And I hate it. I think I suppose that's why I stopped performing poetry.
It's part of the work hazard.
Yeah.
If you're going to perform poetry, you have to prepare.
To be vulnerable.
To be vulnerable. Except you don't want to be
vulnerable.
Yeah. If you don't want to be vulnerable, I don't think you'd be that much of a good poet.
Yeah.
I think the main reason that people can say, oh my God, you're so good.
Yeah.
Is because on every stage, I leave myself.
Yeah. And you.
So, I show you everything. There's nothing hidden.
So in case it's just tuning in, this is the first of Friday's show on UD 100.7, and it's a particular program on this particular frequency right here on this particular show, and it's called The Cruise Block. And you're hanging out with the Superman, Gene D, the Vibe God, and I got in the house with me, Priest. And this is an exclusive interview on The Cruise Block, the second exclusive interview on The Cruise Block. The first one I did with an artist, his name was Wise D, as a musical performer, and now today we have a spoken word access in the building. So I'm going to go back to the music box. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to play your poem. Since it's a 5-minute poem, I'm going to play only your verse.
Okay.
And when we're done, we come back and finish this. And you're going to do a freestyle session for us. So in case you're listening, this man is going to freestyle for us right here on the show. So please don't go anywhere. It's still The Cruise Block Show with Jindy. And I hope you stay locked, okay? Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked.
Friend, we are close. Let's be open. Like white eyes in the wake of the morning light, like windows of opportunities would excel too. Funny, right? Let's be open like stab wounds, bleeding raw emotions, being true to all we've been through. But there's a place in my mind where truth lies upon common ground, a common ground of deep understanding. You understand me. And constantly you've been there like the North Star, gleaming bright in the thick of my long nights, friend. Advisor, you do both like shipwrights. Sit tight, you know me. With you, there is probably no me. There's just an us. With every barrier scurred away, every secret laid bare, ours is a mutual surrender. Lover, let's be open. We are close. Like clothes to the skin, we are closer than kin, closer than my fears within. I could drown in a sea of apathy, but you've always been my Moses. Lover, know this. There are no buts, no maybes, no fables. If I ever bend this knee with a gleaming ring, with smiles and me dreaming big. If dreams walk and I have you with me, if my ifs don't leave no more, I'll turn a new leaf and leave. Lover, I'd be in over my head, every blooming thought knocked senseless by your intenseness. There's the risk of pain, I'ma take it, like I'll take your hands in mine. As we rise and fall, like intonation, falling together, so like the rain. To stand as one once again, to take pride in every scar, to engage our sanity and make of ourselves a reality that can never be marred. Smile indifferently in the face of our differences, hand in hand, as equals, as companions. Friend, you're a lot. You're like the taste of salt. You're food for thought. You're like a chauffeur. You drive me crazy. Take me northwest and fill my thoughts with excitement and a sense of trust. And for what it's worth, you have me. You have me.
Hey, hopping back right in, it's still the First for Friday show right here on 100.7 FM. And it's a Cruise Block show right here with Jindy the Vibe God. And I have in the house with me a 3-time slam winner, Priest, in the building.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah.
3-time
slam winner, Priest.
This is it.
Now, I just played you this poem and it's Naked. You featured Warden. You did a new poem with him this year.
Yeah.
And that was Sharp Things. And I didn't want to play his own verse because now the show is yours.
Yeah,
you understand? Yeah, yeah. So now this is the thing. What was the concept of Naked? There's a love piece.
Yeah, it was.
There's a love piece. What was the concept? Because your title is way out of the wall. You know, I have this particular thing with like titling, like naming my pieces. Someone asked me, Daniel, what really inspired you to name this piece? You understand? So now what really inspired you to name this piece Naked? What inspired you to give it the name Naked?
Well, the idea of the writing, when writing, it came to the idea of being in a relationship where you're hiding nothing.
Yeah.
You know how vulnerable that can be, where other person knows everything about you.
Yeah.
And you know everything about this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's what presently talk about that in Nigerian setting, and they'll tell you you are setting yourself up for breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, but that was the idea. There is the risk of pain.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Take it, yeah.
So that's where the whole idea came out from. That risk of pain, I'll take it. Naked.
You know, we're having a lot of movement in Nigeria.
Yeah.
We have the alpha males.
Yeah,
and we have the feminists.
Feminist.
And now getting to a romantic relationship at some point is scary.
Well. Yeah.
So scary. Because I tell people, if before you call yourself an alpha male, this is not a direct diss to anyone. Before you call yourself an alpha male, there is something. For me, I have criteria for judging, of basin. People feel like because you say vulgar words about women, you degrade women, you're an alpha male. You understand? And now they feel this way and they go back home and like, yeah, I'm an alpha male. Do this, I do this. But now the thing is, I have criteria for judging who is an alpha male.
Yeah.
Now, first thing first, it should be on your list. Can you hang out with your mom and your sister? Then a gun is pointed at both of them and you stand up like, hey, nothing is happening to these people. I'm here. First thing.
That's
then
bad.
Second thing, how many jobs can you provide for people?
Well, personally, I hate the tag alpha males, feminists,
and the feminists
and all. I personally hate the tags. I feel like people should just drop all that, just try to get along. Like, what's the idea? I mean, if we compromise about a lot of things,
yeah,
a lot of relationships will be better. I've read relationships ending because of little things like she doesn't wash plates.
Yeah.
Or little things like, oh, why am I the one sweeping the floor? Or little things like, why do I go out to work and come back and still cook?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
How do I babysit? Why would I babysit the baby as a man?
Exactly.
How would I do that?
Those kinds of things, there is a compromise.
Yeah.
It's actually very simple. If you love this other person, all right. Okay, all right. You're complaining about this. Okay, let's split it. I'll do this, you do this. Compromise.
No, no, you've done pieces with Warden. Now,
yeah,
you know, when you're talking about Poet and Calibre, Warden, A-list.
A-list. A of the A-list.
We have Rima D. We have Warden. And now, you know what it means to sit with this man?
Well, I have to say this, that Warden gave me confidence.
Yeah?
Warden gave me confidence by saying, okay, you're writing on Naked. So yes. Okay, feature me. Let's have a track.
Yeah.
And I looked at him like, wait, are you serious? Like, I mean, look at me. I hadn't performed.
Yeah.
Warden gave me my second stage. My Calabar, biggest Calabar stage I ever had. Warden was the one that invited me. He said, oh, you have to perform for this. And I was like, I've only performed once. These people don't know me.
Yeah.
And when I stand there, they'll look at me like, oh, this one too, they follow the poetry. So... So basically, what did give me my biggest stage? I feel like anywhere, any height I eventually get to, I would always owe it to him. So he's like A-list of the A-list.
2019, I came back from Lagos to Ibom State, and I was just a newbie. Started performing poetry. I was like, okay, I'm opting for FBC. I'm performing at the FBC.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, when I submitted, they were like, okay, you're performing. You're on the list to perform. Like, no, I wanted to give it a try. No, seriously, guys, I'm not ready. But I just wanted to give it a try. They'll reject me again. So now, if like, you're performing at the FPC, I got to Calabar. I met Jim. It's never seen him before. It's the first time I'm seeing Jim. And he, you know, when someone speaks to you, like, you can do this. And I'm like, man, you don't know me. Like, you can do it. And I performed that day. I surprised myself. Each time I go back to that performance, performed the piece, I'm my father's son. And this time I go back to that piece. Like, Daniel, you pulled this off. I have a thing for Calabar poets. Warden, Jim Adi.
Yeah.
Do you know, December last year, I met Jim walk under the sun to where I wanted to record a poem with him.
Well, it just points to the fact that poets are sensitive people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd easily find selfish poets.
Yeah.
Because they can conjure up 1,000 scenarios where they're in your shoes.
Yeah.
So they know how to react best.
So now, like, coming to this.
Okay.
People be like, I'm doing this. I don't have inspirations. I don't have influences. What has been, who's been your biggest influence? You have names, right? You have names you can mention.
Like, people that I have met or people or just poets.
People you've met and people you've not met. Poets. I mean, poets.
Okay. Yeah. When I started writing, Wadim was one of my biggest influences. I remember watching his videos back to back to back to back, trying to get a sense of how he writes. Now, I have to say this too. I got influenced a lot by battle rap.
Yeah?
Yeah, battle rap. I got influenced...
The UK kind of battle rap.
Exactly, the UK kind of battle rap, where you go ba ba.
You know, you have this accent. Tell people you have this accent, this UK-ing in your accent.
That's and, bottom up.
You know, recently I came up with an accent because you just have to be very effective, you know? You know, you're learning an accent and you come to a place where you're trying to speak. You know, people around you are like, why do you switch to something else? You don't speak this way. Man, go back to your accent. So now, sometimes, I was learning the British accent. I was really into it.
Okay.
I learned some words. Tom Z was like the best teacher for me.
Yeah.
I was learning all the things, you know, like watching all this, your commentaries. And before you know it, I started doing the accent. And now I got to know that sometimes I tend to mix it. The American accent, the British, and then the Nigerian accent. Because there's a word, a particular Nigerian word that if... Okay, a particular word, English word, if you say it as a Nigerian, man, if you're in France, someone right behind you will be like, hey, guy, have fun now. Because you were Nigerian. You're saying the word auntie. You are Nigerian. You understand? So I was like, okay, what do I say? Because I'm mixing everything together. So now I have the accent, I'm a Brinick. So that's a new accent. So whatever happens, I've invented something, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about your biggest influences.
Okay. So Wedding was one of my biggest influences. Then Battle Rap.
Yeah.
And then my brother. My brother is a writer, even though he no longer writes. My brother was one of the persons I read his works a lot.
You'd be like, I want to do more.
Yeah. And then I started watching Rudy Francis Cole.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about family here. You're talking about your brother being the biggest influence. And now there's this thing about, I tell people all the time, you were with the firstborn in family. You should be able to live a life where your younger ones can meet. You know, my brother now listens to radio back to back because of me.
Yeah.
And he speaks sometimes. There's a day I went to my mom's place. This boy tried speaking like an OEP. I had tears in my eyes. I was like, man, don't go this way. You should choose a career path for yourself. I didn't make you do this. So whatever you see when you're coming up, you shouldn't blame it. You see a lot of elderly people in a family. They didn't leave a trace of the kind of life people want. Because you're kind of exposed. You tested the waters and you're exposed to the kind of life you want. And you should, because I tell people, no matter where you come from, you're rich, you're poor. Expose your place a huge part and things you choose. You understand? So now they just live a wayward life, then people coming after them would end up like them. That's why coming from a family where two people being successful, somebody charted that course.
Yeah.
And people are following your footsteps. Yeah. So now, your brother being the biggest influence to you is a spotter.
He knows. And most times he tries to deflect.
Yeah.
But I still tell him and he knows. I think the turning point. One of the turning points in my writing came when I listened to Mufasa.
Yeah.
Mufasa talk about his brother.
Yeah.
Mufasa's, I forgot the title of that poem, but I still have it till date. Our mothers are not perfect. That's not who they're supposed to be. Mothers are supposed to be our mothers. Mothers raise sons who raise their sons. And their sons grow up to raise their voices. My brother raises his voice. So it was a turning point. I learned the art of repetition and making it emphatic.
Yeah.
So that was a turning point. My writing from then changed.
Yeah. Just went to a very new path.
Yeah. And then I think I discovered my identity late last year to this year, which is why I wouldn't say exactly going to be a fan of writing like a British person or American person.
Now here's the thing. We have Joe Ivy. He won the Grammys for Best Spoken Word Album. And I want to know, how has the spoken word scene evolved over the years?
Oh, okay. Well, if you tried to get a spoken word artist 10 years ago in Nigeria, you would hit a blank because what's spoken word?
Yeah.
A lot of people just knew poetry. In fact, in my secondary school, when we had poetry, it's sort of Shakespeare, all those poets.
Wole Soyinka.
And none of us, with teenagers with very short attention spans, none of us really thought about staying to read those words.
Yeah.
Right now, I want to go back and read
poetry.
Exactly, and read all of those.
Now, there are people doing poetry in the city.
Okay.
Young poets, trying to gain attention, doing all their works, and people don't... You were the age of social media. You put out your works on social media. People don't react to them. But I wrote something to you. You just read. You proofread. Because at a certain stage, you're a writer.
Yes,
you're editor. You're your proofreader at that point. And you post these things, sometimes seeking approval. You have this body posture where you're not directly seeking for approval, but you're like, if the past give me. You understand?
Yeah,
sometimes it's hard. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So now, you know people who are doing poetry in this city, trying to come up. What's your advice to anyone that wants to do spoken word poetry?
Just keep writing. keep writing, keep writing, keep writing, don't stop writing. I promise you, if you keep writing, you will be good.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I understand in this life is that once you are extremely good at something, one, you can't be broke. Two, you would be sought after.
Yeah.
Whether you want it or not, once you are extremely good at something, you would always be looked for. Someone would look for you. Someone would want to hear you. Toby Abiodun's music is really good.
Yeah.
People pay for him to speak.
Yeah. Perform at events.
In events. Perform. Morgan Freeman, he just speaks.
He did the opening of the Qatar World Cup.
Qatar World Cup.
You saw what he did there with a voice.
Yeah. It's just keep writing. The more you write, it's not about what you're writing. It's about the consistency. If you can build consistency,
then you could.
You'll go far.
Let's go here.
Okay.
If you should be a judge at a poetry slam or a poetry event, and you're judging other poets, give me four criteria you use for judgment. Because people just judge people. Like, I tell people, criticism is one thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes these critics are not good at what they do.
True.
For example, I tell people, before you criticize my work, you should be in my field. I should be good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't just allow people to throw criticism at me. I don't allow that. You're a radio person, you tell me, okay, then you did this. I'm like, okay, I understand. He's a radio person. And you're good at what you're doing. That's the emphasis. So a lot of people criticize people, and they're not even good at what they do. Do you understand? This should be a criteria for judgment all the time. I say this all the time. So now, what's your own criteria if you're judging at a poetry event? What would be your own criteria for judging?
Well, the first criteria I would judge any poet would be with connectedness.
Yeah.
How you can connect me to your poem.
Yeah.
That's the first.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think that trumps almost everything else. Yeah. If you can connect me to your poem.
Yeah, you go to school.
Yeah. Even if I don't really understand it, as long as I can connect to the emotions you felt when I'm writing it. That's it for me.
And the second thing?
And the second, we could go with your relativity because of the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go with your relativity. Then thirdly, then we can talk about the content of your work.
Yeah.
We can talk about how well
organized it is.
Yeah. And
number four.
The complications and all. And then four, we can talk about the composure. How you perform.
Your stage presence.
How you own.
Now, I was waiting to hear this. I have a huge thing for voices. I would be a judge as a poetry slam, then someone just comes up, then you have your L1. It's normal for you to interfere.
Yeah.
I understand the mother thong. Yeah. It's normal, but at some point, when it's too much, I have a thing for voices. If your voice can draw me in, then I give it to you.
Connectedness. Yeah.
Then I have a thing for metaphors. Man, use it. I don't know about horns or this what, but just
metaphors.
Use them well. So in case you're just listening, this exclusive interview on the Cruise blog right here on the Freestyle Friday show, and it's Jindy the Vibe God hanging out with the Superman Priest, and we're heading straight to the Freestyle station, guys, and I'm pumped up and ready for it, you know? I want to see this man do his thing right here on the show, okay? It's not recorded. This is not Photoshop. This is not Dolby. You understand? You're going to hear him live right here on radio. I want to play this bit, and you're going to do it for us right here on the show, okay?
Priest, a bullet is forever, except you're already dead. Then you are bulletproof. Then what is dead may never die. In my imagination, death is a kind of falling in love, is a way I give parts of my body to you, is a kind of sacrifice, is a way my heart and yours can be mine. Today I do not identify as a poet. I identify as a simp. And my pronouns are finished, man. Because with you it's complete. With you, I am Jesus on the cross because it is finished. Like I said, a finished man. In my imagination, you are bulletproof. In my imagination, you can hold me, and the night can be far away. My thoughts. Today comes alive. I notice the details. and saying I am full of laughter is not a hyperbole. Today I can say something different, something about being a storm, earth and sky is petrichor is how earth and sky add up to make a perfume. Storms is how earth and sky add up to make you. Storms, a lightning, is how meteorites realize they can light up the world if they collide. When we collide, we would come alive.
You know, you're doing your own work right here and you're feeling all happy. And I'm trying to flip. I'm trying to, like, this is not a, it's not on a stage. This is a radio station. I'm trying to compose yourself and listen. You understand? He pulled up the magic there and that was Prince performing. Now, what do you give the title? That was Bulletproof.
Well, it was a freestyle. So,
yeah. You're going to give it a name.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a name. But the first lines were from Bulletproof. I plan to release Bulletproof. That's why I didn't read
our
Bulletproof. So perhaps another time.
So an EP is coming on the way.
Yeah, an EP is coming on the way.
So
Bulletproof is it.
Let's go to pop culture questions. Your best series this year, your best movie this year.
Okay, call me old school.
Yeah.
This year, it doesn't have to be.
Okay, your best series so far.
So far.
Yeah.
I've been watching Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Yeah, and yeah, I know how the moral questions and all. Litter the movie,
yeah.
But I love how it evokes emotion. So yeah,
best album this year.
Album,
yeah. Who would you go with immediately? You know,
Stormzy's album.
This is what I mean.
This is what I mean.
This is what I mean. Yeah,
yeah.
I listened to a particular song of the album, "Give It to the Waters," featuring Davey.
Exactly. Oh my man. God.
You know, when you talk about water baptism, and people were like, "No, I'm not ready to give my life to Christ." But this song will make you tell the call your pastor, man.
Take me.
Sir, please, I'm coming next Sunday when I get baptized. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
You know, Stormzy tries. This is one of these UK rap actors that he doesn't hide his faith.
Yes, actually.
You know, a lot of people are like, I don't want to show them I'm a Christian. Fully, they might not buy what I'm doing.
So you don't get cancelled.
Yeah, cancelled at some point. You know, we have a lot of censoring coming up in the media. Scared to cancel the word God. Cancelled. Lord. Cancelled. And now you're trying to think about what's going to happen in the years to come. Turn into something else.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. I really don't. Yeah, but I just feel like, yeah, Stormzy has grown so much.
Yeah. From the first song he did. Blinded by Your Grace.
Yeah, Blinded by Grace. Yeah. I think he is. This is what I mean. This is what it means.
Before he dropped that album, he first dropped an AC. And that was the realest thing I've ever read.
He went through a loss.
Yeah.
There was a loss.
Yeah.
In his life. Inspired most of it. Because there was Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In that album. And Give It to the Water.
There's Hide and Seek.
There's Hide and Seek. The whole album
was just
therapeutic.
Yeah.
So
we've come to the end of this exclusive interview. And I'm saying this, putting it out here, that Priest, probably when you're about to win your first Grammy, you understand this. We know where it started from.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah,
please,
so far. Definitely remember this.
So in case you're just listening, you're tuning in, this is 100.7 Unio FM, and it's Dandy right here on the Cruise Block on the first of Friday. It's a Friday, and yes, Friday, we're all happy and pumped. And now, this is what I mean. With Priest, we did this together, and you have to love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love it.
So I'm going to leave the show playing you the remaining part of the poem, Naked, and we have to complete it with a verse from Warden. And I know you're all locked, you listening to us. Please don't go anywhere. It's still Jindy right here in Auburn. Here is the Free Soul Friday show, and we're coming immediately with Pata Mini, and we finish what we started. So please don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
Perfect love cast out fear. For this life, no balance, eyes. and no one swears. If you be saying you get nothing up your sleeves, but dare you wear your heart on your sleeves, bet if you can't drag your shirt here. Child, you've unbuttoned your heart for love, but the one you love has clothing lines you can't cross. I tell you, bros, this life no balance at all. Won't you want to be naked? Don't you want to strip before your love and have your scars kissed? Have his or eyes lick the truest and realest version of your charred skin and bones? Unfiltered, unashamed, unveiled, unafraid, wanted, accepted, naked. But haunted by your past, your guards are up. You are insomniac. It's second nature for you to save your face or to hide it. Cause cold creeps under your sulking skin when you're naked. No blankets in the open, so you've grown thick skin. An armor to cover the body art of your scars. Such lonely graffiti. Can anyone ever be close to your heart? Even today, you felt cornered, biting your tongue, watching your tone, evading questions. How can people be close and still not open with each other? Huh? What's beneath you, lover? What's within you, brother, sister? Aren't we here to help one another? Aren't you bothered that the act is getting sticky and you are getting sloppy? You are sleeping, stuttering, halfway down the truth, covering your tracks, vague, opaque, hoping we see through you. When you're not being glass, but broken, insecure, no coronavirus, but when we face you, we face mask. Why is loving you such a chore? But imagine your dark beam in the light, acts ripped off its lights. Heart beat back to life as the hands of unconditional love reaches the arm's length of your stories and journeys with empathy, tracing and caressing the plaque of each defeat, each victory, each sunrise, each downfall. Tyrion Lannister, down for you, not downplaying your injuries, but acknowledging the young wounds as well as the gray-headed, those reopened and those ignored, bare-chested, scot-free, released from your dead skin cells, clothed in authenticity, saying what you really mean, what you really feel, keeping it black and white like old TV screens. It's not about having nothing to hide. It's about hiding nothing, having those difficult conversations, being open to correction, no fear of judgment or rejection, because they are smooth hands by you, willing to be laced with your calloused palms. If only you were loosen up, open up, let your walls fall like Jericho. As C.S. Lewis said, to truly love is to be vulnerable. There's a daddy.